Fully developed versions of such things can be found in the life of almost any martyr. The casual way in which bloody and unnatural acts are recounted in the prioress's tale is really part of the genre, and says little about her personally. It is matched again and again in the hagiographical collections, but with the difference that Madame Eglantine's fastidiousness, or Chaucer's, spares us most of the ugly details. The Jewish villains are no more sharply conceived than the city or the other citizens, all of them nameless. As David Benson remarks, they are the villains as the Muslims are in the Man of Law's tale, or the Romans in the Second Nun's tale. They are all infidels of one sort or another. Since the Second World War, we have all become more conscious of nominating villains in that sort of stereotyped way, especially Jews. Only recently, with the case of Salman Rushdie and the Satanic Verses, have we been sensitized, perhaps, to the feelings of another and even larger group of people, the Muslims, an easy contempt for whom can sometimes be found in medieval writers totally ignorant of their beliefs. In Chaucer's English, for example, the word for an idol was Mahomet, spelled M-A-U-M-E-T, clearly a version of the name Mohammed. And Mahometry meant idolatry, although idolatry most certainly has never had any place in Muslim life or worship. Jews or Muslims or Romans are the villains in some of these medieval tales told by a Catholic Christian, as Catholics became in much English literature written by Protestant Christians from the Reformation onwards. This is most markedly true of Gothic novels of the Monk Lewis variety, where the immorality of the monk or nun is not just casually mentioned, but is painted in full vivid colours, savouring every cruel or lascivious moment, a kind of pious pornography made safe for the prurient reader by the supposed wickedness of the perpetrators. The prioress's tale is chaste and restrained by comparison. Jews or Muslims were to the medieval audience who had met neither as vaguely sinister or as wicked as monks and nuns were to many 19th-century Anglo-Saxons who had never met either. An ironic turn of fortune's wheel. The tale's mixture of sentiment, prejudice, pathos, and horror succeeds in its own way with the pilgrims, as did the Fablio of the Miller or the Romance of the Knight. Here follows the prioress's prologue and tale, narrated by Davina Porter.